במציא דף חף גימול עמוד ב' חף דלד עמוד א', photoshopping the narrative, avdi rabbonon demeshani b'milayhu. Firstly, the shiur is sponsored by Mark Golden from Los Angeles. Mark was a Talmid for many years in Los Angeles and has been a Talmid of the Matmonim every single day since we started. Very happy and honored to have you as a Talmid, Mark, as part of the Matmonim project, and honored to sponsor the shiur in honor of your father, Reb Aaron ben Reb Yitzchak Hertz. 21st Yortzeit is on Purim. He was born 100 years ago. And one of these stories of a moving family, Lithuania to Israel, to Scotland, to South Africa, back to Israel. And a lot of Mark's family is here, and we look forward to having you at the shiur physically whenever you're able to get over here. We have a beautiful piece of Gemara, much easier than some of the difficult technical Gemaras that we've had up till now, and great insights as we learn through this piece of Gemara, based on Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar in our Mishnah on Daf Chaf Aleph at the beginning of Elul Mitzvot, where Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar just says a few words, and these words set off the most fascinating conversation about integrity and honesty and privacy, which touches on something we had only a few days ago, where we talked about the fact that in the Torah, honesty is not the highest value. There are times when you compromise honesty, when it is right to compromise honesty, when it is ethical to compromise honesty. And that's what we'll be looking at in this piece of Gemara. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar said in the Mishnah, Kol klei anpuria ein chayav lachriz. Anpuria utensils you don't have to announce. In other words, if you found them, you don't have to go looking for the owner. You don't have to put a notice up in the shul or in the marketplace that I found this anpuria. Says the Gemara, my anpuria, and on Chaf Gimel Amud Bet, my anpuria. What does anpuria mean? Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Kelim. It's interesting, the Gemara is not embarrassed to say, what does that word mean? What's the translation? We needn't feel embarrassed about that either. Translating accurately is one of the most important parts of learning. How you translate, because in the translation there's already insight, and that's why when you learn Gemara in translation, you're at an enormous disadvantage, because you're already reading one person's vision, one person's angle, one person's dimension of it. One has to work out one's own translations or find the right translations and become quite accurate in it. Omer Rav Yehuda Mashmul, what Anpuria means, Kelim Chadashim Shelo Seva'atan Ayin. Things that are so new that the owner doesn't yet recognize them well. We sometimes do in workshops that I run, we sometimes do an interesting exercise which you should try at home. And that's take something very familiar to you, like your glasses or a pen or your watch, something that you know very well. And for a minute, focus and concentrate on that object and just see how many things you notice that you never knew were there. And inevitably, everybody finds interesting things that you never knew were on an object that you're quite familiar with. How much more so an object that is new, that you haven't had for long, that you're not familiar with, you don't know the details of it. So if it's a new clue, you don't have to go and announce, because what's somebody going to come and say? They don't know it well. Hey, Chidami, says the Gemara, I don't understand what you mean. If the gold Rolex watch has initials on the back, who cares if it's new? He'll come and he'll say, it says on the back, XYZ, that's me. If the gold Rolex is completely clean and it's generic, there's no sign on it at all, what's the difference if he's had the watch for 10 years? He still can't give a siman. There's still no way to identify it. Lolam delet b'usiman. Answers the Gemara we're talking about, there's no descriptive mark on the object. Nafkemina. So why do I not have to announce it? So I understand why I don't have to announce it, because there's no descriptive mark on it. What will somebody come and say? I'll say I found a Rolex watch, and he'll say, it's mine. The difference is nafkemina la'adur l'tzuba midrabonin. A very interesting idea. It depends if a Talmid Chochem claims it, because there are different rules for different people. If a Talmid Chochem claims it, then betviut ena, it's enough if he just says, look, I can't give you any simonim, but let me take a look at it and I'll tell you if it's mine. He looks at the gold Rolex, he says, it's mine. The din is, you've got to give it to him. Sevatan ha'ayin kimle begavayu. If it's a well-worn article, then even if there's no specific signs on it, he knows the signs and we trust him. So if he looks at the watch carefully and says, yep, this one is mine. You don't question him any further, you give it to him. But if it's brand new and he couldn't have had enough time with his new golden Rolex to become familiar enough with it to say it's mine, it's something he can't know for sure. And even if he says it's mine, he can't be sure enough and we don't give it back to him. That's what Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar means. Kol klei in Puria, any kli, and Rashi and other Rishonim say klei and Puria means ein po raya. There is no proof here. Something that is so new, ein po raya, and Puria. That's what the word means. What's interesting is it doesn't say an honest person. If an honest person comes, if a person of integrity comes, it says a talmid chacham. Because of a person of integrity, there are often limits to the integrity. How far does the person, if it's a Seiko watch, you'll be honest. But if it's a gold Rolex watch, maybe you'll be making a little bit with the honesty, because integrity is a personal thing. But for a Talmid Chacham, integrity is not a personal thing, it's halacha. It's governed by halacha, and there's no moving away from that. So the sign of somebody that you can trust in this particular area is that he's a Talmid Chacham. Not that he's a nice guy, that he's an honest person, that he's a Talmud Chacham. But see, the honesty, of course, is important as well. Being a Talmud Chacham is not enough. Da'amar Rav Yehuda Mashmuel, because Rav Yehuda Mashmuel said, "Bahani tlat mili avdi rabbonin de'mishani b'milayu." There are only three areas where a Talmud Chacham photoshops the narrative. It might be by exaggeration. It might be by distortion. It might be by new information or facts that aren't even accurate. Where are the three? B'masechet of a puria of ushbiza. And we touched on this a few days ago. But masechet means, says Rashi, if somebody says to you, "Yesh biyadcha masechet ploni sedura begirsa olav," do you know bovim etzia inside out? And if, as it is in the case of all of you, the answer would be yes, you don't have to say yes. You're entitled to say, "Af agav she sedura ilo yomar lo lav." You're allowed to say, "Nah, I wouldn't say that I've got it all clear." Umidat anava, he says, Rashi. This is a characteristic of anava. That's protecting my modesty. So in your question, notice Rashi says it's based on a question. Somebody challenges me. I don't initiate the photoshopping. You put me in a situation that could compromise my humility. And the difference between arrogance and pride is that pride is something you feel and arrogance is something you show. And you're putting me in a situation where I've got to convert my pride into arrogance. I've got to demonstrate my knowledge, and I'm allowed to protect my humility from your probing question. And I can say no, even though it's not true. What does Bapuria mean? Shimashta mitalcha. Were you intimate with your wife over the weekend? You went away for a weekend? Did you have a good, sexy weekend? What's at your business? But you can't say what's at your business, because then you're already answering. You're my love. Said, not exactly. We were on a serious business trip. Even if you were really on a romantic trip, it's okay. Midat tzniuti. You're allowed to protect your tzniut. Look at this. In the Torah, your character is what's important. And honesty is usually part of your character. I'm honest because that's a person of character, is honest. But there are times when a person of character should not be honest. And that's when the question being asked compromises your character. You're asking me a question that forces me to act arrogantly? I don't have to follow your lead. You're asking me a question that forces me to reply in a way that is not modest? I don't have to respond to your lead. I can protect my character with a distortion of the truth. Bushpiza shalu, again, that you ask me, al ushpizo, about my host, im kiblo b'seva panim yafot. Did they treat you well when you went to stay with Joey and Vera? How did they treat you? The truth is, they treated me like a prince, like a king. But on my life, you say, it's okay. Midat tova, it's good. Kadesh lo yikpatzu bo bnei adam she'en muganim lavo tamid alav. Because otherwise, insensitive people would keep on inviting themselves to Joey and Vera, and it becomes a heavy burden. So you've got to protect their privacy in this case. Once permitted to protect your own character, you're permitted to protect the privacy of other people. V'yikalu et mamono, they're going to use up all his resources. They'll suck him dry. So you're allowed to protect him. Says the Gemara goes on, uvushpiza mainafkimina. Why do I need to be told this? Why does Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel tell me this fact that Talmidei Chachomim only distort the truth in these three cases? The reason is that you should know. If it's somebody like that, if you know that this is a person that is so meticulously honest, the only times he would photoshop the narrative is in these three cases, then you return it to him. But even if he's a Talmid Chacham, but then the Gemara is saying he isn't a Talmid Chacham. That's what Rav Yehuda Mashmuel is saying. If he photoshops the narrative in other cases, and photoshopping the narrative is even exaggeration. Rabbi Yonah says in Shari Tshuva, exaggeration is one of the worst lies because you think it's okay. You do it easily. Even in exaggeration, you're distorting the facts. And what you're saying is not true. The words that are coming out of your mouth are not true. But in these three cases, one can photoshop the narrative. If you know that this person doesn't photoshop the narrative anywhere else, then Taki is a Talmid Chacham. But if he's a Talmid Chacham, he's got a long coat, big black hat, but you know that the facts, he's a little bit loose with the facts, then he's not a Talmid Chachamam. He doesn't fit into this category, and you can't give him the Rolex watch just because he says, I recognize it, I know that it's mine. That's why Rav Yehuda Mashmu gives us this law. Tosfos asks the question. It actually says Vishinantam in the Shema, when it says you should learn the Torah until it's Vishinantam, which means you divrei Torah mechudadim beficha shemiyishalecha adam al tegamgem v'tomarlo, that if somebody asks you something, you should be able to answer immediately. You don't say, I'm not so sure that I know Bov Metzia. You should be able to answer immediately. Ask Tosfos, why do you play humble and modest when we're told that's a measure of mastery of Torah, is that somebody can ask you something and you can answer immediately. Answers Tosfos v'yesh lo madainu dafke be'adam habalish ol lo din or hora or lehitlamed. That's if somebody asks you a halacha, or for direction, or to learn. Then you don't play modest. You don't have to pay for my modesty. You don't have to go ignorant because of my modesty. If I have something that you need, I have to give that to you. If I have information and knowledge that you need, I have to give. I can't say, I'm too modest. I don't really know that I know that halacha. I've got to be able to say that. But if he's just testing him, if he's just trying him, if he knows, he can say, I don't really know the answer to that. The Rif brings this Gemara, and then he says, Umistavra lan dehai delo chashiv ha bahadi hanach tlat mili. Tosfos asks the question, which the Rif asks as well. The question of Tosfos is, it says in Yevamos that mutal l'shanot mipnei darkei shalom. One of the ways, times that you're allowed to tell a lie is because of darkei shalom. So, for example, I can say to two people who are arguing, you know, so-and-so is in an argument with you, he actually admires you enormously and would love there to be peace, although that's not true. And I go to the other one, as Ira and Akohen used to do, and I say to the other one the same thing, and we bring them together. The Gemara says in Yevamos, that's one of the cases you're allowed to Photoshop the narrative. Why is that not included here? Tosfos answers, Mishum Dahani Nami, Mishum Darkei Shalom. These are subcategories of Darkei Shalom. The truth is, the only time you can Photoshop the narrative is for peace, is for Shalom. Here are three frequent examples that a Talmid Chacham might encounter a challenge to peace, and where he's allowed to change the narrative. The Rif answers the question a little differently. Says the Rif, Umistavra lan dahai delo chashiv haba hadihanach tzlat mili, Mishum dahai lo itztrichale. The reason is because you don't need the case of shalom here. Why the mitzvah? Because in the case of shalom, to make peace, it's not you're allowed to Photoshop the narrative. You have to Photoshop the narrative. You've got to do that. You step in. These are all reactive. These are all cases we see in Rashi and Tosfos and Mekhi Yosef. Somebody asks you a question which leads you to Photoshop the narrative to protect your privacy or your modesty or whatever. But if nobody asks you any question, there's no need to tell to change the narrative. In the case of shalom, says the Rif, you have to, even if nobody asks you anything, you step forward. You proactively Photoshop the narrative so as to create peace between two pieces. Ki itztrichale hanach derushut. These, the Gemara is talking here about these three cases, because these are not a mitzvah, these are reshut. You're allowed to do this, but you're not obligated to do this. So the Rif says there are two different reasons to Photoshop the truth. The one is peace, and the other is protection of privacy and character. Tosfos says there's only one, peace. These are examples of peace. There's no other reason to be able to Photoshop the narrative. And the Gemara there learns it from the psukim that I bring here with Avrom, and in the case of Shmuel, where we see it's a mitzvah to do so. The Rambam and the Rif, and eventually the Shulchan Aruch, all paskin like Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, says the Vilna Gaon, Hilchit kevate de mistaber tameh, even though the Chachomim disagree with Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar in this case of Anpuri, which leads to everything we've been discussing, and even so, the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, says the Vilna Gaon, because the Gemara spends time on him. Gemara analyzes him, goes into him. So we see from there that even though the majority opinion is against Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, nevertheless, we paskin like him. The Rambam also paskins like him and uses an interesting word there and says in the second paragraph, we're talking about a Talmid Chacham with a track record of truth, who never changes a word, who never changes the narrative. Ella, important word, except for B'divrei Shalom. That's the only time. Or B'masechta, or B'mita, or B'vayetshu mitarechbo. Either in learning, or in intimacy, or in hospitality. So what do you think? Is the Rambam paskening like the Rif, or like the Tosfos? Is the Rambam saying there are two conditions under which you can Photoshop the truth? One is peace, and one is protection. Or is he saying it's only peace? All of these cases are peace. What do you think the Rambam's paskining? So if you look at the Vilna Gaon on the Shulchan Aruch, because the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Rambam verbatim, Ayin Tosfos Sham, Sof Dibur Ramat Chil B'Ushpiza, V'Harif Tireitz B'Inyan Acher. This is like Tosfos, but the Rif answers differently. So the Vilna Gaon learns, Ela means the only time you can do it is peace. For example, Masechta, Mito, Baichu, Mitarech. Well, the word Ela means there's only one exception where you're allowed to Photoshop the truth, and that's in the case of peace. Therefore, he's learning like Tosfos. But, says the Vilna Gaon, the Rif learns differently, and because the Vilna Gaon brings it, you realize the Vilna Gaon favors the view of the Rif, that they're two separate issues. You can do it for peace, and you can do it for protection of privacy. And what's really interesting is, if you look at the Rif, there's another way to learn the Rif. Why does the Vilna Gaon learn it that way? You could say, Talmid Chacham doesn't distort the truth at all, Elo bedivrei shalom, only with divrei shalom. Or, alternatively, even when it's not divrei shalom, b'masechta, b'mito, b'vayetshu mitarechbo. One could learn it there. One could put the comma after divrei shalom. Ela b'divrei shalom, peace. Or, and there's another example where you can do it. So maybe the Rambam is not paskening like Tosfos against the Rif. The Rambam very rarely goes against the Rif because the Rif was the Rebbe of the Rimi Gash. The Rimi Gash was the Rebbe of the Rambam's father, and the Rambam's father was his Rebbe. And the Rambam is very hesitant to pasken against the Rif. It would be strange if he's going against the Rif. If you look at the next line, Likut, the Vilna Gaon went over his work many, many times. And later on, he often learnt what he had written, and he kept a separate notebook, which they found after he died. They found three notebooks of Likutim, where he overwrites what he wrote before. And we've got it in our, it's published in our Gemara, in our Shulchan Aruch. And in the Likut, in the second version of the Vilna Gaon, he doesn't say, V'harif tirutz be'inyan acher. He doesn't say, and the Rif answers differently. He found it necessary to say something, and all he says is Lashon Arif. The Rif's Lashon is different to Mistavran Dai, De Lo Chashiv Dekan, De Lo Tzricha. He just quotes the Rif. So clearly the Vilna Gaon came round to the view that you don't have to learn the Rambam as disagreeing with the Rif. You could learn the Rambam as learning like the Rif if we parse the Rambam the way I just suggested. So there's so many things we learn. We learn what a Talmid Chacham is. A Talmid Chacham is somebody, firstly, who knows a lot and has learned a lot of Torah, and whose head is in Torah, and who's living in Torah, and who looks at the world through the lens of Torah, everything that he does, and is meticulously honest. That's what a Talmid Chacham is. When he changes the truth, what's also interesting is the Rambam brings an example. For example, he says, Ketzad haya osek b'masechet nida v'amar b'mikvaot. If he's learning nida, he's allowed to say, I can't really answer that question because my head is in mikvaot at the moment. I'm learning mikvaot, I'm not learning nida. Although really he is in nida and he knows nida well, he can say mikvaot. Why does the Rambam give those examples? Why doesn't he say, you're asking me a question from Bava Metzia, I'm learning Shabbos. My head's not in Bava Metzia at the moment. Why does he say mikvaot and nida? If you do Photoshop the truth, Photoshop it as close to the original as possible. Make as little alteration as possible. I'm on nida. You say mikvaot. It's part of the same category of halakhot. You don't go right out of it. You deviate just as little as you can, as little as you're able to. There's an amazing ikrim where the ikrim says the reason that bees make hexagonal cells in their beehives is because a hexagon is stronger than a square. A square would be more efficient. The square would be most efficient, easiest to make, quickest to make, least material, no space in between. Why hexagon? Because it's stronger. I asks the ikrim, then make it out of circles. Circles are even stronger than hexagons. answers the Ikra, and if you change from the original, change as little as possible, even if it takes you more effort. Ideally, you want a square, but you're going to say, I'm not going to do a square because I want it to be stronger. So now I could do hexagons or I could do circles. Circles is too extreme. A change from the original plan. So it is here too. You're learning nidor. Say mikvos. Don't say Shabbos. Stay as close as you can to the original. And the other thing that we learn is that there are these two cases. Peace, shalom between people is so important that that's one of the cases. Even proactively, you can initiate a photoshopped narrative in order to bring people together. And in addition to that, you can photoshop narrative if somebody asks you a question that compromises your character, that answering it would require you to compromise your character. He had no right to ask you that question. And the only way you can protect your character, whether it's your modesty or your humility, if the only way you can protect it, or the generosity of another human being, the only way you can protect it is through photoshopping the narrative. In those cases, it's more important to protect character and photoshop the narrative than to be true in a way that is arrogant or immodest.